Final Cut by Lynn Anderson, read by Sally Armstrong. To Detective Inspector Bill Mitchell. Chapter 1. "They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old," he murmured. It had been the recent televised remembrance ceremony that had prompted him to return. Watching 500 primary-age children walk behind the British Legion flags, their poppies as bright as their little red mouths. There was nothing to see now, especially in the winter twilight. But he knew they were there. He smiled. They were his. They would always be his. It was dark when he left the forest. Out of the sheltering trees, an icy blast met him head-on. Snow swirled round him in a frantic dance. When he reached the road, he turned for one last look, promising himself he'd return soon. He braced his body against the wind, enjoying the pleasurable heat of memory as he stared back at the maddened trees. Chapter 2.
"It's fucking freezing."
Private Fergus Morrison cupped his crotch, where his testicles had shrunk to the size of marbles. He'd have to get out of this wind soon, or frozen balls would be the least of his worries. The entry to the civic dump loomed out of the darkness, lit by a single high-voltage beam. To his right, a wall was graffitied with a Tory Glen gang slogan, "You are now leaving Toyland." In the distance, across a strip of darkness, rose the lighted mound of Hampden Park, graveyard of so many Scottish football hopes. The gates to the site were closed, the vehicle barrier down. He slipped underneath it and took a run at the gate, easily hoisting himself up and over. He landed with a dull thud and stood upright, listening. A rusty sign on the fence had told him CCTV cameras were in action. He doubted that. Who would bother protecting Glasgow's rubbish? He narrowed his eyes against the thickening sleet. The nearest skips were for metal, wood and household waste. He glanced in at the pile of bursting bin bags. It would be warm in there, but he couldn't stand the smell. He wasn't that desperate. When he located the skip he wanted, he climbed in, cursing as his shin caught the metal edge. He fought his way through the layered piles of flattened cardboard boxes to the back wall, glad to be out of the wind finally. Once he'd built his cocoon, he settled down to drink the last can of strong lager. Okay, he'd secured a place to sleep safely and something to drink. No food, but the six-pack had taken the edge off his hunger. Hey, 2 out of 3 wasn't bad. It was better than Afghanistan. There would be no one taking pot shots at him here, and any shit that smeared his face wouldn't be his mate's guts. The memory of sudden death made his hand shake on its way to his mouth. He took a slug of lager, then wedged the can between his knees and lit a fag. The arrival of a car didn't bother him. No one would be dumping at this time. He knew that prostitutes from nearby Govan Hill brought their johns here. If it hadn't been so cold, he might even have spied on them and jerked off alongside. He took another mouthful of beer and blew lightly on the end of the cigarette. It was the nearest he would get to the warmth of a fire tonight. Chapter 3.
"Is Granny going to die?"
"Yes, Granny's going to die," said Claire, more sharply than she intended. A small, choking sob came from the back of the car. Despite her stressed state, Claire felt a stab of guilt.
"I don't want Granny to die," Emma wailed.
"Neither do I, Emma." Claire knew she was being blunt, but she couldn't pretend anymore. Even for the sake of a 9-year-old girl.
"Will Granny go to heaven?"
Claire didn't answer immediately. Instead, she flicked the wipers to fast mode and peered through the sleet-splattered windscreen. The road was pitch black, her beams the only lights for miles, but she knew this route like the back of her hand. Since her mum had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, she'd travelled it often enough. The sobs in the back had dissolved to an occasional whimper. Claire felt a rush of pity for her daughter. Just because she was beside herself with worry didn't mean she had to take it out on the child.